there's a lot of people who like think you can market your way into that. You kind of can and you kind of can't. Not only can't you have to like do marketing, and marketing's great, but then you have to be like exceptional at the actual delivery of the product. And that's always our number one focus.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast. I am super excited to introduce you to my guest, Lindsay Cher Burgess. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I love it when we have this synergy and connection. And unfortunately, people don't get to listen to our green room, maybe for the best, because, you know, we just have some great conversations. But now it is time to hit record, right? And share the story.
Be serious.
Be serious. So, tell everyone listening the story behind your business, Green Wallscape.
So my business is Green Wallscapes. We make custom preserved moss wall art, and we ship it all over the US and Canada and a little bit on the, in the Caribbean as well. To this point, we've done over 1,000 walls nationwide, and we can do everything from a plant painting all the way up to 500 square foot walls. We specialize in more large scale commercial applications of the material. And so that's been a really cool evolution in the business. And it's what we like to do, and it's what we specialize in. But we also, it gives us an opportunity to work on a large scale and also be super creative with people's brands and things like that. So it's been a wild ride. I started this in my house, like for fun. I just, one night I went to a craft store and bought some moss and glued it on a board and then showed it to some friends. And, you know, I always like to say, oh, I just showed it to some friends. My friends are developers and architects. So, you know, it was like, they were like, cool, I want one of those in my, you know? And so it started organically like that. So it was very much like, you know, hey, can you do one for my building that I'm building? Or can you put one in my lobby? Those kinds of things. But it all started very, very small, and then has like grown over the years as we've like changed capacity and learned different techniques and that kind of thing, and sort of established ourselves in the space.
Yeah. And you call yourself the Moss Boss now, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So much fun, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the nice thing about owning your own company is you get to make up whatever you want. And so that was like, you know, I thought like the boss of Moss, Moss Boss, you know, people are calling me Moss Mom, Moss Queen, you know, all those kinds of different things, but the Moss Boss thing kind of stuck. So that's where we are. And it's on my business card. So whenever I'm in like these very professional networking events with architects and engineers and stuff, they're like, what is this? Like, what kind of title is this? You know, kind of thing. But it's memorable, and it helps people, you know, remember us when they are looking to do one of these applications in their office or in their home.
Yeah. It's so fun to hear your kind of starting journey, right? Because I feel like more often than not, like I say this often too, is like, I accidentally started a business. It's like, it kind of just happens. Like, you do something that you are, you know, good at, you're creative, or you have a passion for, or something interesting. And then it just kind of snowballs, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, okay, here we go. Let's jump on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, somebody wants to buy this.
Yeah.
There's a great book called Anything You Want. And the guy, his name is Derek Sivers. And he talks about, he grew a company called CD Baby, and then he sold it for like $3 million. And that was when $3 million is a lot of money. And not anymore. Anyway.
Jump change now, right?
Right. And so, but his story was really interesting because He literally just saw a need, and then his friend started to ask him to do it. And then he like just kept iterating on, you know, first he was selling CDs for independent musicians. Then he got into MP3s. He was just always like kind of curious where the next trend was going. And he just kind of followed that as, you know, things evolved. And then he sold it. And so it was just, it was anything you want, right? So it was just, I saw a need and I filled it because nobody else was filling it. And I think, you know, in some ways, it, that was the situation with Green Wallscapes. There was probably like one or two other companies that were doing it at any kind of scale. And frankly, I wasn't planning on doing this as a job. Like this wasn't what I thought I was going to do. I was between business development and marketing jobs. And I looked at everything and I said to my husband, like, I can't start another one of these jobs. Like it takes a year to get it going. You have to go and like, you know, shit talk the competition that you were just hired, you know, just working with and do all these things. Oh God, I shouldn't have used a potty.
You're fine.
And I looked at that and thought like, that's just not really what I want to do now. And so my husband was like, well, why don't you try the moss wall thing? And so that was kind of also the impetus for it, was that like, I was ready for a new opportunity. And I was like, I don't think this is a business. And well, it is a business. Like I was wrong. And I love that I was wrong. That's so cool. Cause it was definitely my dream to have a successful business. What I did not realize about having a successful business is like the level of responsibility that having a successful business requires. You know, you are responsible not only for yourself, but you know, these salaries and you know, benefits of your team. And then also just making sure the projects are on time and they're done correctly and all that kind of stuff. And ultimately, the, not only does the buck stop with you, but you get all the worst problems. Like when you're, when your team really screws up is when you have to be brought in. And that's really just part of it, you know, and you've got to get used to that.
I think, you know, those are some of the challenges and the lessons, right? I feel like sometimes we have to go through these lessons in business, and specifically if it's not, if business isn't your, gosh, how do you say this? Like you're not focused, if you're more of a creative, I guess we'll start there. If you're more of a creative and less of the business owner type person, right? You go into business for the craft. It becomes, those are the lessons that you learn over time. And sometimes, you know, they're hard lessons, but you have to learn those lessons. You have to have different iterations of your business in order to get you to this place where you are successful and you've grown and you've scaled, right? You started in your house and now you have an amazing team and you've got creatives and you work with these huge companies to do some beautiful work. But had you not gone through some of those like little, you know, pitfalls, if you will, you couldn't have gotten to where you are now. So I think it's so important to hear and learn from those lessons. And I think that's part of entrepreneurship that a lot of people don't talk about, is that it's hard sometimes, right? Like we go through insert tear, right?
Insert all the tears, insert every tear.
And it's like, and it's not just to our own demise, right? It's things that externally that we can't control, you know, things that are going on in the world or things that other people, decisions that they make that we have to pivot, problem solve, be innovative, be creative in these different ways. And so I think it's important for people to hear that it's a journey. It's not where you are today is where you're going to be 5 years from now, because things are going to evolve. And so I think you have done an amazing job of that and the work that you're doing. And I know that you've worked with some really prominent brands, right? You've had the ability to work with some really national, like prominent brands. And so I'd love to hear how those came about in your journey, right? How did you land, quote unquote, such a big project, and how has that changed your business moving forward?
So, you know, we, it was crazy. Like, I think the second or third wall that we did was for a project for Southwest Airlines. We just did like literally a Southwest or Airlines logo. It was a woman who needed a logo made for an event. But then I got to say, like, we've done moss walls for Southwest Airlines. Like it was nothing. It was literally some lettering. It was just, you know, but it still created that like credibility out the gate, because again, nobody was doing it at the time. So she was just like, can you get this done on time? I'm like, sure, no problem. You know, that kind of thing. And they were awful. And they still were happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, I would never do that. I'm sorry, Southwest Airlines. In 2008 or 2017, like, we did a really bad logo for you in San Francisco. I'm so sorry. And so, you know, but it's like, And then it was like, and again, because we were really early to the game and the people who were looking at this were really avant-garde at that point, you know, because really this was, there were, like I said, a few companies in the United States that were doing it. And then most of it was in Europe. And that way it was like a European design, you know? And so people were literally looking on Etsy for this stuff.
So let's talk a little bit more about some of the diverse experiences that you've had, because you've done some really big projects. You've done, you know, small logo lettering all the way up to huge, large walls. So how have some of those experiences shaped the direction of your business and maybe some of the future plans that you have for your business?
So I think that, like, you know, what the hardest thing was for us was developing the process. Because you go through the same process, whether you're doing a 2-foot by 3-foot frame as you do for a 560 square foot wall. Yeah. And every time I deviate from the process, it does not go well. And so we have found just a very, after 8 years of doing this, right? You know, we've figured out exactly the questions to ask, the things to anticipate, the ways to make sure that the material's prepped properly, all of those kinds of things. And that's something that I will say is that it's an iteration, right? So we have something in our company called Kaizens, which is basically every week I ask my team if they've thought of some improvement or some new idea or new way of doing things. Love and we that. Have lists of them. And when I look at the Kaizens from 2020, it's some basic stuff. Like, wow, we're discovering all these things. Now we're like very advanced. Like we are really innovating because it's, you know, it's a lot of the same, right? It's the same materials and different configurations and things like that. But then sometimes we get thrown for a loop and it's an opportunity for us to learn a new way of engineering something or learn about a new adhesive or learn a new cutting technique or those kinds of things. And that process of kind of thinking about how do we make it part of our company culture to expect growth, expect change, to pivot if needed. Right now we are experimenting, you're talking, so talking about growth opportunities, we're experimenting with outdoor faux walls. We found some really nice, beautiful walls that, you know, beautiful paneling that can be put outside that actually looks really good. The biggest challenge that we've seen is that for the most part, this stuff looks like total garbage. And so we've been able to source some really more beautiful options for clients. So we're starting to, you know, sort of dabble in that a little bit. It isn't my passion, to be very honest with you. I would much rather just stay doing the moss walls because they do have such a different energy and they are real plants. But for they can't go outside. So we're starting, you know, we went through a phase where I think we must have gotten like 10 inquiries for outdoor walls. And we're just like, okay, we can't just keep doing this away. Like clearly the market is asking for this, especially in South Florida, where, you know, you have situations like the one that we did where nothing's going to grow in an area, whether it's a wall or they don't have irrigation in a certain area. This is like a backyard area that this guy had that he's making into his like spa oasis, but there was no light because all the foliage around it. So there, not everything that was put back there died. So he was like, okay, I don't have another option. I've got to go with the faux. And I would say the faux, in my opinion, is the last resort. Of course, I always say to people, like, if you can do a living wall outdoors, go for that. Those are just stunning. But if that, you know, but if you do need an outdoor wall, the moss can't go outside, especially in Florida, because there's just too many elements that could be problematic with, you know, heat and sun, et cetera. These products are made specifically for outdoors. So, you know, it's a learning experience. It's something we're trying. We're learning a ton. It's very profitable, which is cool. And I'm like, man, I gave away a lot of projects to somebody else that we could have made a lot of money on. But again, like we were busy and it didn't matter, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, we're sort of diversifying a little bit into that. And then we're just really playing with, you know, how do we create additional awareness for who we are and what we do? And looking into, you know, now you've got to do not only search engine optimization, but now you've got to do, you know, optimization for all of the GPTs on top of all of that. So now I know all about, you know, marketing on Claude or whatever. or Comet or whatever. So it, you know, you get really, you know, I'm always trying to like stay ahead of like where things are going. So that, and then, you know, how do we meet people in person? Because that's the other thing that's coming back is in-person networking, right? So
totally.
Going to events where our customers are and really being back in the world again, because that was how I built my entire business to start with, is that I had a massive network on LinkedIn that I still have. And that's, you know, has paid dividends now. It was just, I finally figured out what the people wanted, and what the people wanted lined up with what I was selling. And, you know, that was 20 years of networking before I actually figured all of that out. And that's, you know, I think that, there's a lot of people who like think you can market your way into that. You kind of can, you kind of can't. Not only can't you, you have to like do marketing, and marketing's great, but then you have to be like exceptional at the actual delivery of the product. And that's always our number one focus. And our clients come back most of the time because they had a fantastic experience with us. And, you know, we have all 5-star reviews because we take care of our clients, even if there's challenges on the projects for whatever reason.
You have to.
We had a project recently where like they didn't tell us there was going to be a TV in the middle of the wall, and the size was completely wrong. And we had to go and like, you know, fix the project basically because nobody told us with a approved design that like, oh, by the way, there's like a huge giant television that's going to be in your moss wall. Problem solve, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that's the best leader, right? You have to be able to innovate, problem solve, pivot, and, you know, just kind of go with the direction, listen to your audience. Like you just said, right? Like people are asking for this. So this is what direction you have to either go in or at least explore, right?
Right. Or set up a referral partner, and then it just becomes another revenue source, but you don't necessarily have to do it. You know, like it's kind of, I can do like affiliate marketing for green walls, you know, like other kinds of green walls, that kind of thing. So, but it's also like, who do you partner with? So we partnered with another company to do this first installation, and I wouldn't partner with them again. I didn't think they did a great job. So it's like, you know, you have to try things. And I think that it's like, probably my number one personality, and the reason that this has actually worked, is because I'm willing to try stuff that people are like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most of the time it's not. Most of the time it works and it looks great and it's fantastic. And every once in a while I screw up royally and then I just fix it.
Yeah.
I say that most things can be solved with more time, more money, or more moss. And then it takes the pressure off of like this thing being really heavy. I used to take things very, very serious, very, very, deeply. Like I used to just like
internalize it
on things. And what I found was that, you know, while I do some rumination now, most of it is like, okay, I ruminated a little bit, like this person was difficult to deal with, or there was this situation, but okay, this is how I'm going to fix this, and this is how I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And that's hard. You know, that's a hard, it's a hard mindset to develop. It's a hard muscle to keep, you know, and then there's times where you're like, I don't want to have to be this resilient. I don't want to have to work this hard. I don't want to have like,
yeah.
You know, last year, to give you an example, because of the way that, you know, with the election, like no one made decisions until November. So I had like 3 or 4 months where no one was making any decisions. And then everybody made decisions in literally the election happened 2 days later. Everybody was like, okay, let's go. Okay. Now we know we have a decision. Let's go. Blah, 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 blah. And, but that meant that like, you know, I had to basically pay to be in business last year because we had so long where people just weren't making any choices. And I had to invent work for my team because I didn't want to lose the people on my team when I knew that the work was going to pick back up. I was like, I'm quoting like crazy. Just say yes. And then they all say yes. And then it creates another problem for you.
Right.
You deliver all that work that they said yes, you said yes to.
Yeah. And it's a compound effect. Instead of being spread out over time, now it's all within, you know, 30, 45 days or whatever it is. It's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Although we just finished a project recently that we closed in January of last year. So like, you know, our timelines are very weird. We either have, all right, I need a project in 2028, or okay, in 3 weeks, I have this event. Can you help me? Like, those are our two options right now. And that has been, if I could characterize this year, it has been those two things. Either people super planning really far out, or zero planning and begging for help.
Yeah.
And so it's not a great way to run a business. I it's very stressful, honestly, sometimes, because I lost a really big project because of timeline this year. Like it was just like, it's not possible to do what you're asking us to do in the timeline that you're asking us to do. Like there isn't enough material. There isn't enough people. Like,
you know, your hands are tied.
and of course I want to do it. I always want to do every big project, but sometimes you have to be like, you know, and my husband put it really beautifully. He goes, Linz, I know you're upset about this because this was a project you were excited about, but the guy was kind of a jerk and the timeline was unreasonable. And at the end of the day, you're probably like going to net $5,000 on this project, which isn't even going to pay the rent for the month. So like, why are you worried about this? Like, this isn't, this is just like, focus on getting other projects and better business of people who are reasonable about timelines. And so that's just a learning lesson, and it doesn't happen that often where, you know, we don't get a project and we don't have clients that are super thrilled with everything because of deadline. We usually can meet it, but sometimes just is what it is, you know, because we are reliant on, you know, getting materials. And especially when you do larger projects, it's like sometimes our material comes in from Europe. So like sometimes it takes 8 weeks to 10 weeks to get here. So we have to be like ahead of the curve and trying to anticipate, especially with very large walls, around like when we need to order versus when it's delivered and having it on hand and all that kind of stuff. So we've gotten a little better about like figuring that cadence out, but it's still not perfect. You know, there's always something.
Mm. Well, who knew we can talk all this time about moss, right?
I mean, you know, I've been talking about moss for 8, almost 9 years. And I can tell you that, you know, I've said the word moss probably 50,000 times and I'm not stopping. Like every time I'm like, oh, business is over. We did it. You know, time to close up shop, you know, whatever. Then we get 10 inquiries and, you know, it's the weirdest thing ever. Like, it's just crazy to me, like what happens, you know, in this business. And when you are in fabrication and manufacturing, you still have to pay your people even when things are slow. And then it's like this, but like I said, this year's been a lot of whiplash. It hasn't been like a smooth flow. We've never really figured out a fully smooth flow, but there's been years where we're like, okay, we got this. Like, we got enough work. Everybody's good, but like, it's not overwhelming. This year's been like on fire or completely stopped or like, and so that's really hard to like, you know, because you're just, your team's like, oh, okay, is the business okay? And all that kind of stuff. So you gotta be like, listen, we're just going to work through it and we're going to wait. Yeah. And we're going to do these other activities until the stuff picks back up again.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter how much money you spend on marketing. If the timeline doesn't work with these people's timelines, there's nothing you can do about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So true. I think the lesson here is that everybody needs a little moss in their life.
Everybody needs a little moss in their life. They would feel better.
Honestly, I think so.
Like, I have a lot of moss in my life and I feel better because of it. Yeah.
Well, Linz, it's been so fun talking to you. Yeah. And I feel like we could talk for hours about moss, of course.
And about like the fun and challenges of doing this. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate you being a guest. I'd love for you to share how people can learn about what you do and maybe get some moss in their life.
Okay. So the best thing to do is check out our website, greenwallscapes.com. We can also be found on pretty much all social media at greenwallscapes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you. Bye, everybody.